Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 337. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and I'm very happy to have back on the show after just a couple weeks off. We had to have her back, Georgia Dow. Georgia, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be back.
Wow. So you're living up to the, you're on every podcast.
You turn a corner, there I am. I'm stalking everyone on their podcasts.
I mean, it's kind of, and like we didn't even talk about on the last episode that I don't think I brought up that you're a two-time Canadian Brazilian jiu-jitsu champion as well.
Yes.
Didn't even come up. That's how much stuff you do is like something that big, not even worth mentioning. that's nuts. So we have a ton of stuff to talk about because we didn't even get into any of the questions last time because I...
No, we didn't. We kind of skipped over most of them.
I was selfish and we had a good discussion and people loved last episode. So it's going to be more of that. I will say we might take the first 10 minutes and we're going to be talking about the Apple Watch because that's a really big deal and it's, possible features that it could, and benefits that it could have for people in the fitness world. And also, if people did not tune into the last episode, make sure you go back to that. That was 333. And that was kind of the big thing is we talked about, psychotherapy, fitness and nutrition and health, because that is like out of the 18 jobs that you have, that's number one with a bullet at the top.
Right. Yeah. That's what I do every day.
Do you enjoy that? Is that ever like a incredible, I would almost think that'd be an incredible stressful job sometimes.
It is the most, I love the job. Like I love doing it. The reason that I love doing it is one is I deal mainly with anxiety, depression, parenting, self-esteem. So I deal with things that are manageable. Like I'm not dealing with psychosis mostly, very rarely. I'm not dealing with usually personality traits, except they might have that as well. But I'm also dealing with people that get anxiety or type A personalities. They are people that are, hard on themselves, achievement oriented, probably a little bit too critical, but they're the go-getters of the planet. They're the movers and shakers in the world. They run the world. And so the things that get them into the problem of having anxiety, being too hard on themselves, putting too many things on the plate, being, having expectations that are way too hard, always trying to do more and more and more, is the same reason that it works so well to help them. You get tools and tips that will work, and then they get out of it just as easily as they got in. So I love my job because I'm changing people's lives in tangible ways. We have a lot of fun. I laugh a lot. I'm, just real with them. It's not that I know every single answer on the planet. And the best part of it is that I get to share the most integral part of their lives with them, which most people don't get to see. So it's almost like living a movie, a movie when, this is when all of their issues that are inside of them come to the forefront and they have to make these really important life changes.
Totally.
I get to be with them to find out these life changes. And then I'm lucky to actually hear about how their lives were actually changed. That's like awesome. That's like the biggest dopamine rush that I could ever get. And so for you, if you do like training and you're training someone and then you suddenly see them go to from maybe lethargic and they're not at their body weight that they want and they're not being good to themselves. And then you can see that change. That's so rewarding, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
I get to do that like with their life goals. And I love it. I love it. I love the fact that, that the trust and the care, and it's just so much fun to get to do. So I love going to work every day. And yes, sometimes it is stressful, but it's just wonderful.
Well, this is kind of a health, it's a fitness and nutrition podcast is like the tagline or whatever, but in terms of like general health, in terms of people's mental health, what do you think like the majority of people are missing today when it comes to taking care of themselves mentally? Are there any like just common things that you see across the board?
I have some main ones that I think that people should do, and it all depends, right? You all have to figure out like what your things are, and I think that that's really important for fitness. I think one is that people don't put the importance on themselves as they should. So one of the main things, like right away, if I ask them, and I ask this to every single person I see, how are you sleeping? How are you eating? And are you exercising? Period. Because if they're not, if you're not doing that, if you're not taking care of yourself, I'm wasting. And this is what the person that runs the clinic that I work at, Sandra, she always says, that I would be taking your money. I'm stealing your money if you're not doing these three things. So let's get that done first. Mm. So it's vastly important. They work hand in hand with each other. Exercise is one of the best things to help your mind. Like one of the best things for learning as well is exercise, not doing Sudoku. It's true.
And we mentioned if you, you know, if you're one of those Patreon supporters at the end of this episode, you're actually going to have an off topic or agenda free segment with Georgia. And we mentioned that you were on Twit yesterday, yesterday. This is going to come out on Monday night. And you did talk about meditation a little bit. And that's one of those things that I'm like starting to, like I read 10% Happier, you know, which has a lot to do with, there was a reporter from, I think it was ABC that, you know, got into meditation and really cleared up, you know, how crazy his life was. Any advice on how to get into that and just like, you know, meditation?
I'll tell you how I'll actually give you how I give it to people usually is you want to start small, as with everything, like even with working, training, like everything, you can start small. You don't have to jump right into the deep end right away.
No 3-day retreat where you don't talk?
No, which I would love to do a 24-hour no talk just because I talk so much. I think that would be so.
You probably
such
would
a
clear up that cough.
Well, yeah, I had a friend that said that that's a speech therapist. And she's like, Georgia, you know what I would tell you about how to, because I had laryngitis, I couldn't even speak. If you listen to the first podcast that I did with you, Kevin, my voice was a little bit hoarse as well. And she's like, you know, the first thing I would say is not to talk. And I'm like, okay, well, I do podcasts at night and I do therapy all day. And I have kids. It's just...
it's impossible.
Right. I'm pretty much speaking 24/7. Well, maybe cut out 8 when I might be sleeping, but I might even be talking through my sleep. Who knows?
You should throw on that recorder tonight to find out.
Right, right. So the first thing that I say is you just start by doing some deep breathing throughout the day. So it's just taking a deep breath in, belly breaths, pause, and then exhale out. And you're just slowing down your breathing for like 5 breaths. And you try to do that like 8 to 12 times a day, if you can. So in between activities, in between sessions for me, in between training of working out, you know, that makes it easy. So you could set a reminder also on your phone to remember to just to do a couple of deep breaths. And then after that, I usually start with a short, either guided imagery or a passive relaxation, and you can find them online. And that's just a teaching your body. And I would take the shorter one. So start with maybe 2 minutes to 5 minutes. And that's manageable. I think everyone, no one can say, like most people say for the mindfulness is they don't have time to do it. Everyone can, there's no one that doesn't have a 5-minute time.
Totally.
And so I even have them, even though you're not supposed to, I even say, okay, do it before bed. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Just it's training your brain waves to slow down. It's different than sleep, which is what I didn't get to mention on a Twit, which I would have. But we went on to a different topic and so many other amazing things, is that it's not about sleep. It's actually changing your brainwaves to teach you to slow down. And time is not a linear thing to our brain. If we're really, really busy and you're always in the future, like thinking about what am I going to do? Where am I going? What about that? And you have 16 different things that are happening. You're missing now. And there only is now. So you're living in a time period that doesn't exist. And that makes our lives feel very, very short. So by doing this, you're taking 5 minutes, which makes you feel like you're wasting time. But to your brain, you're slowing down time. And then you practice just being where you are at each moment. So mindfulness is different than just meditation. Mindfulness is about being in the here and now and doing whatever you're doing and just being there, shutting out all the rest of the world, which is really cool. Very hard probably for if you are a type A personality. A type B's are very, very laid back. You're chill. If the alarm on the house goes off or the fire and you finish your pizza before you go and check it, you're probably type B. And
you,
we all want to be.
Is, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's real. True. Yeah. That is a very good point. So you want to kind of just you know, as I believe Jason said on the podcast, just touch your toes to the water and let yourself feel it. The deep breathing I do all the time, much more often than I would ever do the mindfulness, though when I used to train for fights, I would always give myself like a few minutes to get in the zone, which was really life-changing for my fights for me.
It's two things, and I swear we're going to get to those questions from you guys. I'm sorry. But so two things. Number one is that like that I've tried the meditation thing, and I know, you're right. I just got to do it for 5 minutes. That's all I need to do.
Don't do it. That's so type A, though. That is like a perfect, you must be really type A, because type A's are not great. And I'm type A as well, just so you know, there's no judgment here. It's coming from someone that totally knows, is that, you know, you don't like, you know, working out for 2 minutes is better than no minutes. Most people will be like, well, if I can't do my 30-minute workout, then I might as well not do anything. No. 2 minutes is better than no minutes. And for meditation, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like I actually only have people train like 3 or 4 breaths. That's it. And try to do that throughout the day. You are practicing being calm. And that's how you get better. The more you do something, your synapses are, you know, reaching out and making friends with other synapses. Mm-hmm. It's so vastly important to just be good about it. You know, even if you just do it once a day and take one deep breath, great, better than no deep breaths.
Well, it's like, I'm the kind of person that needs to be listening to a podcast or a book while I'm reading, you know, an article. Well, you know, also thinking about the two other things that I need to do for work right now. So I'm always like, we're talking about Tokyo. Right. Like, that's why I like going to Tokyo, is because it's just so much crap going on. It's so stimulating to me, that it's, you know, satisfying, where like this is turning it, you know, from I'm always at 11, and then I'm trying to turn it down to like 1.
Right.
Is just such a challenge.
That's the cool part. Yeah. What you should do is you should see, and I do a really cool focusing exercise that I used to do in martial arts. So it's more martial arts, but now I bring it into my therapy because I found that it was just so helpful, because I also like lean towards being more like ADHD. I'm just hyper and active by nature. And so I wanted to have myself be balanced. And so I would just sit and try to sit completely still. Even if I was itchy, even if I wanted to move, I would do my deep breathing and try to be like a statue. And just do that for 2 minutes. Set your timer on your phone and see if you have the capacity to do nothing. Mm-hmm. And once you make it a achievement to do nothing, you're doing something instead of doing nothing.
Yeah.
And that suffering is part of it, right? That I wish I could do that. Like your mind will go to other things, but I just focus on my breathing. How does it feel? Slow down. Mm-hmm. And I really spend all of my brain matter trying to think of my breathing, not think about the world. And being like a statue.
Yeah, it also, like there's this thing in our field that, you know, I've talked about, and I've had some people come on the show to talk about. There's this organization called PRI, the Postural Restoration Institute. And, you know, one of their big things to kind of not recenter you, but because of how your organs are aligned in your body, like that, you know, their theory is that you're basically always asymmetrical side to side. And by training, you know, your diaphragm, because of the way that it's actually like your diaphragm is in itself is asymmetrical. Like it's not just doesn't go a straight line across your, you know, torso. And by doing these, you know, belly breaths while being in a certain position, it actually helps with like postural alignment and, you know, hip height and like having, you know, one side of your pelvis higher than the other, which can then put you in a much better position for when you go and train, whenever you start adding load and stuff like that. Mm. And like, that's one of the big things is like, when I started doing that, I started feeling like almost euphoric and
wow, nice.
Like fired up. Like I was so much more focused and just like, oh yeah. Like, and it's so weird because I'm like, I'm lying down on my back. I have my feet up against the wall and I'm just like, I'm literally breathing in through my stomach as much as I can. Then I'm blowing out until I have like nothing left, you know, in, you know, my lungs. Like I'm using my diaphragm to blow it as much as possible. And then I'll be getting up and I'm like, this is like better than having, you know, a caffeinated beverage. And
right. What I thought you were going to say.
Well, that's what I used to do.
Same, yeah. But that's exactly the same thing that I feel when I do passive relaxation or my breathing techniques. Mm. I get a little bit, like I get a dopamine hit from it. I feel like a little tingly and more alert and just at peace. And I feel like when you're really anxious, your brain is not, it's just not in the zone. It's not in the right zone to be able to focus on anything properly. You're increasing the risk of, if you're training with any, you know, machine or free weights, that you're going to get hurt, that you're going to make a mistake, that you're going to do something wrong because you're not focused on the activity at hand. And we like to think of ourselves as that we can like multi-process, but we're not. We're single parsing units. We can parse only one thing at a time. And so it's the level and expertise that you can do that at when you're focused on it is completely different. So before you train, you should do some, you know, sit down, do some breathing exercises, center your mind, and just be there while you're training.
Okay, we got to talk about the Apple Watch and fitness trackers in general, because this is a big deal. Apple Watch came out about, I guess it was 2 weeks ago now. Seems like forever, but now that they're out there, people have been trying them out. They've been testing them. I know, Georgia, you have one. I have one. And, you know, just testing out the activity monitoring functions of the watch. You know, outside of that, it's actually, you know, really, it's a really cool device. I mean, it's, you're coming at like $350 to $400. It's not cheap. It's a pretty, you know, it's a decent barrier to entry compared to your other fitness trackers. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on, I mean, because you've, obviously you're at iMore.com and you're always following Apple stuff and you were right there when it came out. So what have your impressions been of the, you know, watch so far when it comes to just the, you know, potential health benefits and the, you know, activity monitoring and stuff?
Well, it's kind of interesting because the activity monitor made me much more conscientious of my fitness levels. I liked the fact that I like the, after that, I just to get like the first achievement, which it didn't give me, which is a problem.
Wait, but it like it was a bug?
Yeah. Like, oh, so it says that you get like a little tiny, gold emblem for the first time you've worked out for 5 minutes. Now, because I work for Stickers, that was the first thing that I went out. Yeah. Yeah.
I have my calendar right here, by the way. I got to start. I got to get, that's, I forgot to order stickers.
Yeah. You have to get stickers.
It's because I looked at Nintendo stickers and they're like $6 for a pack of like 40. And I was like,
yeah, but this is for you. You got to do it.
I just wrote it down.
Yeah. It's so much fun. Make it fun. Make doing whatever you can fun, but tracking it with like putting something on the wall and being accountable. And that's the thing that this works so well with is the watch makes you accountable.
Also, calendars are really cheap right now because we're already 5 months into the year.
Oh, there we go. There you see, or just download one. Just like print one from your computer.
You could do that too.
Yeah. Whichever way you want to go about it. And so like the cool part is I actually like worked out just to get like my first 5 minute award, which at first it didn't give me. I was really like bummed out. And then I was like, well, forget about it. Right. Like that was the problem is that if it doesn't actually accurate measure. But I love the fact that it's like tracking, you know, my levels of exercise, my calories that they think that I'm burning from it. I totally dislike the stand every hour. I know I probably shouldn't, but I turned that off. That was the first thing I turned off on my watch.
Well, turns out like I'm standing at my desk right now.
Yeah.
And it would still do it. So well, yeah, it was just like an hour.
It only notices differences in movement. So it figures if you're like not moving, like you're not lifting, but like the worst thing, and I mentioned this on Twit, but the worst thing is just, it's actually also caused me to cheat. So I was at dinner and, I like, it went off in the middle of like dinner. And so like, I'm not going to get up in the middle of dinner and walk around cause I'm at a restaurant. And so I actually like lifted up my elbow and just waved my arm around. So it thought that I was walking around.
It's like the same thing, you know, it's like you're moving a little bit.
I'm moving a little.
You're getting the
and then it went, you stood, and I'm like, yay. I turned that off. I found that vastly annoying. If I was at a desk all day, I think that that would be more beneficial. But I don't really love these. I think it's healthy. We should be standing up more. And I like the fact that it makes us more conscientious of that. But that bothered me. And then the fact that it went – the first week it was like, you have failed to meet your goals for this week. Yeah. And I went, oh, that hurt.
And it gives like, you the reminder throughout the day too. It's like, you've only burned like 300 calories according to my, you know,
my estimations. So, you are not even close. But I like having it. I do. And it makes me more thoughtful of, you know, this is so important to our bodies. What was your first experience with the activity tracker on it?
Okay, well, first I will say I think the watch is really cool. Like, and
the watch is amazing.
It's just a really, and again, it's like one of those things that I don't know if you can necessarily everyone can justify a purchase. Right. Like, if you have an extra $400,
yeah,
and you're like, yeah, I mean, I could spend this $400 on you know, a couple grams of cocaine, or I could buy an Apple Watch. I would go Apple Watch because it's going to last a lot longer and it's going to be better for you in the end. Right. So. Joking aside, I like the watch. I like it. I mean, it's the very first version of an Apple product, which, you know, if you look at the iPad 1, the first iPhone, like I've owned all the first generation, like everything since I've been had a job to buy this stuff. And I think it's a really good first step.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think it's going to be the biggest seller of a first gen product.
Oh, that yeah. Apple I mean, has they're released. Sold out. They're still... Like,
you know, like the iPad sold, like, which was the most popular before this, was like 7.5 million is what it
in
sold.
In the first year?
Or yeah.
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 Well.
And then I think this is going to way outsell that.
Well, I think just for it being $400 or $350, I mean, it's a lot easier. Like, it's almost getting to that point where, like, under $400 is just like, that's okay, you know, to spend $400 for a lot of people compared to it's not like a new MacBook, which is like $1,000, $1,500. It's just, I mean, it's $400.
And it unhooks you from your phone. Like it,
yeah.
This is for people that don't want to have their phones constantly attached to them. I had the best experience, by the way. I got an alarm on my alarm went off on my phone. I don't have anything on my phone. It doesn't buzz, beep or anything, but it will go off for alarms. And I hate that thought of like, where's my phone? I have to turn it off because it's beeping and it's annoying. Yeah. I could turn it off on my watch. And I just went,
oh, awesome. I haven't even noticed that yet.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great. My phone was two rooms away and I just went, boop, done. Like, yes.
It's cool. Talking about the activity monitoring stuff, I did a bunch of tests. I got it like literally an hour after I got it. I went to go train.
Wow. Great.
And super bummed.
Oh,
I was, and this is because I think my expectations were way different. My expectations were not really set based on anything that I knew. I remember I watched the conference where I watched the two press conferences where they talked about all the activity stuff. And, what I'm used to having when I train is like a polar heart rate monitor, which is, you know, real time live. Like it's about 1 second behind when it comes to giving you your heart rate because you have a strap around your chest and not on your wrist. So it's a lot more accurate. And, you know, I'm thinking, all right, there's all these infrared, like the green LEDs, like this, all this stuff, like you can even see the green LEDs like light up and stuff. Like, oh man, there's all this awesome technology on my wrist. It should have like no problem. So the first thing that kind of bummed me out is that the only options that they have right now for tracking activity in terms of exercise is, you know, cardiovascular activity. So I think it's jogging inside, jogging outside, you know, cycling inside, outside, rowing, stuff like that.
Yeah, because you're
preset, yeah. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess that kind of makes sense. I remember seeing that thing on ABC News or whatever where they were talking about that they have this huge laboratory, and I actually know some of the people that are, you know, helped out with some of that stuff. And I was like, oh man, I was just hoping they had something that could actually track strenuous activity and activity levels that are not steady. Things that differentiate in intensity throughout an hour. And it's not just 1 hour at the same intensity. You know, it could be 1 hour, or it could be like a couple minutes at 30%, you know, a couple minutes at 95%. And then you're going back down to 30% while you're resting. So what I tried it on was I have this Airdyne bike, which is basically like this thing with handles and pedals. It's a, you know, bike you sit on that's has a fan on it. So you got air resistance and you can basically go as hard as you want on it. So I threw it on and, you know, I set it up. I just said cycling inside and was like, all right, at least I can get a pretty good idea of what's going on here. And I was super bummed because it was never giving me real time heart rate. Every time I went to go check my heart rate, it would actually say measuring. And this is, I got some feedback from people and said, oh no, that you have to make sure you start, you know, the exercise program. I'm like, no, I did. Like, and I even took a video of it, of me, like a Vine video, like showing like, for what I do and what we do at our facility and with our athletes, we do a lot of stuff. A lot of recovery time is based off of heart rate. So we'll say, all right, you're going to be doing this activity, and then you're going to rest until your heart rate's back down to 130 beats per minute. Okay. So this device cannot do that for me because it cannot give me that real time heart rate feedback.
No, it can at times. Like I don't know, like I've had times where it was just check, like cycling through, like it was just saying it's measuring.
Yeah.
But when I was running with it,
was it a similar speed the whole time?
Relatively so, yeah. That's the problem that I ran into. It was able to track for me. So for exactly. you had like a you when you're changing your
the
heart.
Jumps.
Okay. It now do you think it was the jumping or do you think that it was the huge differential between your heart rate?
I'm sorry, that's what I meant. Like I would be going to like normally on these sprints, like my heart rate will get up to like 165 beats per minute and then I would more or less recover till I get down to 130 or 125 and then I would sprint again and then wait till I get down to 135. And the problem is good if I stayed around 130. Like if I was doing steady state stuff, it could keep a pretty good idea of where I was at. But when I made those big jumps, I think, you know, the software that they have in there right now just didn't
fast enough.
I don't even know if it's that it's not fast enough. It's just, I don't know if they're predicting that people are going to be doing this kind of stuff with it. I think it's general population, not even general population. I would say like, you know, people outside of this show, you know, the normal person that is just like, yeah, I'm going to go for a jog. I think it can track that stuff, but not being able to track intense or really big changes in heart rate because of recovery, was a bummer because also even if it didn't track, like if it didn't have like, oh, strength and conditioning option, like, yeah, I'm going to be doing strength and conditioning for the next 30 minutes. I want you to track it. Based on heart rate and based on my body weight and my height, like a polar heart rate monitor, you can still get a really, like a pretty good idea of how many calories you're actually burning during that training because it's able to keep it almost an exact idea of what your heart rate is at the time.
Right, right.
So that is how it can gauge intensity. And then from there, it can get, you know, the caloric expenditure. So for right now, unfortunately, I don't think the watch is beneficial for people that A, want to use it to track any kind of like weightlifting or strength training, you know, activity, and you know, B, someone that wants to be doing lots of athletic stuff, whether it be you know, sprints on a treadmill outside on a bike, just because it's not fast enough.
And right.
What I'm learning now, it wasn't built for.
Right.
Not yet.
Not yet,
because like I said, they have stuff in there for steady state cardio for the most part. And that's what a lot of people do because, you know, you don't have a gym membership or, you know, some people just like to go to the gym and, you know, run on a treadmill or they like to run out. It's a super nice day out. I'm going to go run outside. And my hope, I'm disappointed. I'm actually not keeping it. I'm sending it back or not sending it back. I'm going to return it. But,
really?
Because it's still $430 after tax. So
it is a lot of money.
Like the way that I'm very minimalist these days and I'm always thinking, all right, that's $440. What else would I do with $440?
Right. That is true. That is true.
I could go to Orlando and see my best friend for a weekend and that's going to easily cover flights from JetBlue. Like,
right.
I could go do that instead of having the watch. And it's not something that I'm going to completely, you know, stay away from. And I'm super fascinated. Like we talked about HealthKit, like the potential, something that like the Apple Watch could have in terms of tracking is, really excites me. And it is just my belief that A, the software is not there yet. And B, you know, the accuracy of the tracking is not there yet. And maybe a year from now, I think they can do that. And I just hope they're working with the right people in those laboratories to make sure that it's going to be ready for my demographic and not just, you know, the casual person that likes to exercise and wants, like, I already know what, like to stand up, you know, every half an hour and stuff like that. You know, I think for this audience that's listening to the show, that's like into this stuff, may be wanting to wait. And the Apple has 14-day return policy. If you ever pick one up, try it out. Like, as long as you don't smash it, just bring it back. And like right now, I even looked on eBay, they're selling for like 70% over sticker price. So you could probably flip it. And
you could, you could.
I don't want to do that though. I know someone else might be in line, and I'm sure they can refurbish that thing real quick and get it back out on the floor. So, I don't know. Like, again, I know I'm super crazy about this because I almost looked at it as like, maybe it's a $200 fitness device and $200 iPhone accessory. And, we mentioned that I've always had issues with the Fitbit and the Nike Fuel. I think those are still, those have a lot of issues in terms of accuracy, and they don't really give me what I want except for a pedometer. And if I really just want a pedometer, I could buy that, or I could keep my 3DS in my pocket or something like that too. I mean, that is actually a really accurate pedometer. Bring that with you when you go on your trip to Japan and see how much you walk around that city, or Tokyo, I mean. So,
and you can play some great games also when you're waiting for something.
Yeah. I didn't really play mine much when I was there, but, it's because I was doing lots of cool stuff and eating some great food. So yeah,
Don't rub it in. Don't rub it in.
I know, it's all right. I mean, Korean barbecue and stuff, and goiza or goza or whatever it's called, goza. The dumpling stuff. So yeah, it's, I mean, again, I know I don't mean to bum anyone out. If you're really excited to get an Apple Watch, if you have your pre-order, I, like I said, still get it, try it out.
Yeah, I love it. But yes, for fitness, I find that it also, like, I like the fact that it makes me think of it, mm-hmm. but is it highly accurate? Not yet.
It's not yet, but it's just, it has like, it's just one of those things where you look at what they did from the iPad 1 to the iPad 2 and how much, there was a huge leap. A gigantic leap in, you know, features, you know, form and abilities. So maybe a year, it might be 2 years, but I'm fascinated by it. I'm excited to see what they do with it. And I really like Apple stuff, so I'm always going to be willing to, you know, give them a second shot. And 14-day return policies are very, you know, they're very good things. So you're not risking anything.
Like, yeah, and you can just go to the Apple Store and just try one on and see how does it work for you.
Just run right out the door and see how it tracks your heart rate.
Yeah, just run around the Apple Store. No, yeah. they're not functioning. Most ones don't actually have functional models, so they're not going to be great to be able to see. But at least you can see how comfortable it feels on you.
Oh, it fits really well.
It is very lightweight.
The sports band is kick ass. Like it is
nice.
You don't even notice that you're wearing a watch, which is something I hate wearing watches because they're just like, they get hit on things. And that was the other thing. Like, I just didn't want to scratch up a $400 device. Like, I need invisible shield to make a invisible shield for the face of a watch or something. Right. Has anyone come out with any of those yet?
There's people that are developing little plastic sheets, full like watch cases.
No.
Like, yeah, that you can wear around your watch.
A silicone bumper.
And they have
bumper.
Just like the... Yeah, like little pieces of like plastic that you put over your watch face. They have everything. People are going crazy. There's already new bands that you can get.
Bands
that you can actually print your own whatever picture you want on it at the same time.
That's cool. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I'm still returning because, again, I just look at it as like, that's $450 that like I bought $1,000 worth of crap when I was in Japan. So it's hard to justify.
Really?
Yeah, I bought
cool
lots
technology.
Of technology. Famicom, Super Famicom games, Sega Saturn cool. games, video game soundtracks that you can only buy in Japan. But then I found out that you can order CDs from Amazon Japan. It's the one thing that they're like allowed to export because there's no region restrictions with music.
Very cool.
So I'm a little bit of a nerd. So I have, I bought like 15 CD soundtracks from like Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo and Famicom.
Ooh, do you
games.
Have Echo?
I did not get Echo. That's a trippy soundtrack.
That's a great soundtrack. If you're like doing any kind of meditation, yoga, it's a neat soundtrack. They had a great soundtrack.
I'm more of like a Yuzo Koshiro. This is kind of off topic, but like Streets of Rage, your Shinobis, your he also does, what does he do today? He does, like Etrian Odyssey stuff today. He is like, he's just like, you know, Bamf, he's just a badass mother effer. Like that dude, he has created some of the best music, like on the Sega Genesis and ActRaiser on the Super Nintendo.
Okay, you're going to have to find your favorite one, and you can tweet it out to me so I can listen to it.
Oh.
Find, like, a piece of it on, like, a video game or something.
Oh, come on. Streets of Rage 1 and 2? Like, all day. You can buy those on iTunes for $6. Also, iTunes pro tip, if you don't want to own physical, tons of awesome video game albums, like, old and new, like, even PS1 and old stuff, for, like, super cheap on iTunes. A great resource for buying old stuff you don't want to import from Japan. Okay, so yeah, what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be right back. And now we're actually going to talk about the questions that you guys submitted, because yeah, I promised we would do that at some point. So stick around. We'll be right back. If you enjoy the FitCast, I hope you become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/thefitcast. That's patreon.com/thefitcast. There you can support the show starting at just $1 per episode. And with that support, I'm going to be able to make sure that these shows come out every single week. We have about 220 people supporting the show, but I hope you value the show enough to think that it is worth $1 per episode. And it just takes 2 minutes to get set up with a Patreon account. It's completely secure. You can use a credit card or a PayPal account. It's really easy. After I make 4 episodes in the month, you'll be billed $4 if you do $1 per episode. We've had some fantastic people that have even been doing, you know, $3, $5, even $10 per episode, and your generosity is greatly appreciated. It means a lot, and I really hope we have more people check that out. It is what makes sure that I can continue to do this show, set aside the time to record, produce, set up guests, get questions, organize everything together, and I just want to make sure it continues to be a high-quality show. And preferably ad-free if I can make it possible. So that is the way to do it. And also, you now get shows 1 week early, plus you get the exclusive agenda-free FitCast, which is an awesome, like, 30 to 1 hour long episodes that are with your favorite guests. And we just talk about all different things: health, fitness, nutrition, mental side of, you know, health, music, movies, video games, life, travel. Really is just been a fantastic experience, and I really hope you go check it out. So thank you, as always, for supporting the show. Again, that is patreon.com/thefitcast. And thank you to everyone out there that has become a Patreon supporter, or for those that have gone to thefitcast.com and clicked on that PayPal tab on the left-hand side and made a one-time donation. It means a lot, and just thank you so much. And I hope, you know, you help out, do $1 per episode. And thank you so much. Let's get back to the show. Okay, we're back. And now let's get into some of the questions that we have from the audience. And we're going to take one of these from Twitter right now. Actually, this is from Facebook, from Michael Hannaford, who says, love the episodes you both do together on both podcasts. What is an effective way to keep life out of the gym? I'm an overthinker most of the time, and when a lot is weighing down or stressing me out, it's difficult to put all of my focus and adrenaline into my lifts and into my training. Are there tools I can use to keep the outside noise outside? And bonus question, how would you feel about a Battletoads sequel? Haha. Battletoads is getting a lot of press these days, but let's hit on the first one first.
Okay, so it really depends on what type of issues from the outside world are really bugging you. If it's something that's very, very serious, the best way, and I do this, this is the same technique that I give for sleep, is you should write down what is your problem, why does it bother me, and what is the solution to it. Like, the reasons that stuff rattle around in our brain and we keep on playing that old record is because we're worried that, one, we're going to forget, two, we're going to mess up, and three, we're going to get hurt again from whatever hurt us in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it just means that there's something on your plate that you need to get rid of. If you have a good plan or strategy of how to get rid of that, and you've written it down somewhere, like, really it should be in a book, so much better than on your technology, that lets you let it go. I have a plan. I have to deal with it. You also want to have a schedule. And I am probably, like, I hate schedules. Like, I hate schedules. I was really bad at them. I was bad at them at school. But if you have a schedule for when you're going to do all of those things that you're worried about, when you're going to take care of them, and you actually have a time. So I have like, and I'll do this, like when I have like a lot of stuff, and I often have like a lot of things that I have to get done in the day, I'll say, okay, from 6 o'clock to 7, I'm doing this. From 8 to 9, I'm going to do this. From 9 to 10, I'm going to do that. That allows me that feeling of calm that this is my time to work out. I'm just working out. At 7, I can worry about shopping and getting dinner ready and running that party. Mm-hmm. At 9, I can worry about the article that I should write and what I didn't get done for the rest of the day. And that allows you not to have one issue's stress bleed into another's issue's stress. Mm-hmm. And that works, like for me, it works gangbusters. And I hate schedules because it makes me feel like I'm under someone else's authority. Like I have to do something. It's like, it reminds me of my parents, like you have to clean your room first. But it does allow you to spend the time being really mindful of the activity that you're in.
Is that something you do daily, like first thing in the morning, like write down?
I only actually use this if I have a lot of stuff and I'm feeling stressed about it. Okay. I will actually give myself times to do it. And I become much more efficient. So the other day I wanted to do it was a beautiful day. I wanted to do my lawn and get some plants out. I had my father's birthday and I was going to be doing TWIT. And so I had to cook for my father's birthday.
Holy crap.
And so there's a lot of stuff that's kind of there. And go shopping for it. And so that's what I did that day. I went, okay, I have to do all these readings before I go on TWIT so I don't sound like a TWIT. And so, like, I'll do it from these two times. These hours are when I'm going to do the reading. I'm only going to do the reading. This is the time that I'm going to do the planting, and I can plant until this time. And then I knew I had to stop at this time so I could do the next. And I didn't feel stressed at all. I was able to enjoy each activity really nicely, pre-get ready anything that I could. But I didn't have that bleed feeling of a stress from something else. If that doesn't work for you, you can also do, like, listen to music, do mind games of distractions. So, like, focus on doing your repetitions and counting them out loud. And you can also deal with, you know, what are the things that trigger you. So if it's more of a trigger of this person's annoying you at the gym or someone else, you have an emotional reaction to because of that you had a fight the other day, then that's a different issue, and you need to deal with that as well, because it's going to not let you work out as well as you could if you're feeling calm, relaxed, and able to be there. Plus, as we had spoken about before, it greatly increases your chances of pulling a muscle or getting hurt, because mm-hmm. you're not thinking about doing a technique, and some of these techniques can be really dangerous.
Do you feel like you go to this, this resource when, you're traveling more? Does that kind of where things get a little bit, crazier, because I feel like that's what I've been running into more, is like, oh man, I get to fly out on Thursday and now I'm going to be losing a bunch of days for work. Like, and now even more work when I get back. Is mm-hmm. that when you end up using these techniques more?
Yeah. Whenever my stress level hits, about on a 10 scale. And I think that everyone should know what their anxiety, like, you need to save some resources for yourself. So whenever I hit between a 6 or a 7, or I know that I'm going to be, I will immediately do that. I will plan out what time I have for it. And the interesting thing is, I used to be really horrible with time management. I would always be late. I would always be over doing different things. But when I do this, I almost never run over time. I almost never feel overstressed with it. And so it really works out well for me. And so I'll plan when, get it done. Okay, good. And then, I sometimes set a reminder on Siri so that I don't forget something, and I'll have it like remind me the day before. I'll be like, okay, Siri, remind me the day before that I have these three things to do that day. And then I can say, okay, I don't have to remember. It doesn't have to rattle through my brain because I have technology that's going to be able to help me remember for me.
Sounds like the important thing is just doing it when you hit that 6 and not wait until you're at 9 or 10 and you're,
it's too late. Yeah. You're not going to be able to get back down, because when you're at a 9 or 10, your brain is in fight or flight. Your working memory is actually shut off during that period of time. You're all limbic. And so your usefulness is pretty much gone at that point. You're at a 9 and a 10. You're heading towards having an anxiety response that's going to be exceptionally severe. And we're not made to think or make good decisions during that time. Like, really, the best thing is don't ever make any big decision when you feel really upset or emotional. Wait. Just wait. That's my rule. If I'm feeling really stressed or upset or angry, I'm like, I do nothing. I stay in stasis. Don't send any emails. Don't make any phone calls. Don't, like, sell, buy anything. Just weight.
Is there a way to train your mental strength to do that better? Because I totally hear what you're saying. And I know like everyone has those situations where you're like, oh yeah, you know, like just whether it's like if someone just screwed up a project that I've been working on for months and now I just want to send this email and just, you know, just dude, you suck, you messed up. Like, how do you build up, or do you have any tips on how to like build up an endurance to make sure people stay calm? And it's like that thing of like, I'm not going to eat that pizza because I'm hungry. I'm going to, you know, wait a little bit and I'm going to have something better. And I'm not just going to eat crazy because I'm starving right now. I got to control my, control myself a little bit better.
Yeah, there's all kinds of really cool tricks to help get it. I think that the first thing is that you need to know like the stuff that trigger you. Like most people don't have any clue. So you just hit that wall and you like we blame other people. And sometimes it might be that they're annoying or they did something wrong or that they screwed up. Mm-hmm. Like that happens in the world. But it is when the chips are down that your character shows up. And so, you know, if I get really triggered or I'm really upset, the first thing I ask is, what about me made this upsetting to me? Like the world is sometimes cruddy and things happen poorly. But the first thing is the knowledge of who are you? What are your triggers? Everyone's trigger. We all have different rule books. And so what your trigger might be might not be someone else's. And I think that it does everyone a really good service to be able to know these are the things that really annoy me. So if someone is intentionally trying to put someone else down and they're standing on a really high pedestal and they think that they're better than everyone else, that bothers me. That's a really hard personality trait for me to deal with because I find that that's just wrong. But just because I feel that way, even if some people might be saying, but that is wrong, that doesn't mean that my interactions with that person should be to my detriment. And that should make my workout go poorly if I see them doing that. Like I might choose to say something, but I should still make sure that I get the most out of my training time. So I think the first thing is we need to know ourselves really well. After that, I think that everyone should always practice restraint in activities. It proves to us that we can.
Yeah.
So like I might get a letter, I'm really excited to read it. And I'll say, you know what? I'm really excited, but I'm just going to wait a few minutes, calm myself down. And when I'm calm, I will read it. You don't want to do anything reactive. And so I try to wait until I'm no longer too excited to maybe even read an email. I'm like, I got an email and I can tell it's from like something that I would really love to do. And I'm like, oh, I want to read it right now. And I'm like, whoa, just wait a second, Georgia, calm down, and then open it when you're feeling more calm. You know, a meal that you want to eat, you know, take a breath, enjoy it. Don't wolf it down. Taste the food. What does it feel like? What does it taste like? Enjoy these moments.
Last time about, you know, if you're going to have a donut, leave like a bite left. Just to prove to yourself I can control this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that those are really great ways for you to gain some feeling of I can control this. And then when you make a rule to yourself, abide by it. You could, you know, there's nothing holding you to do that but your own word. But our limbic system will believe only our actions. Our analytical part of our brain, our working memory, the gray matter that we're so proud of, that part we can like lie to ourselves and say, yeah, I could do it if I wanted to. But your limbic system will say, but have you? And so that's why the actions are vastly more important than just the thoughts. Because conjecture, our limbic system, our primal part of our brain, it pretty much just says, nah, I don't believe you. You know, show me the proof that this is possible. And then your anxiety levels will get down and you'll believe that when I said that at 6 and 7 and 8, these are the things I'm going to do, that I'm actually going to hold myself to that.
Do you believe, have you seen Lucy?
Yeah, no.
The Scarlett Johansson, like, kind of crazy movie?
Is that the one when it was like she's Siri? That's the one where she's like, killer, and she's like made to be like awesome and super amazing.
Yeah, she can like.
I haven't seen it yet. Is it good?
Okay. Yeah, you should. I mean, it's got her Morgan Freeman, so it's great.
Sounds great. Okay.
All right. See that, because I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that, because it also has to do with like brain development and like being able to use like a certain percentage of your brain and all this cool stuff.
Oh yeah. Okay. Okay. Because in the thing, it says that you're only using 10% of your brain. Unfortunately, that's not true. Yeah.
Breaking news. Wait. I know that was one of the big criticisms when the movie came out.
Yeah, it is true. We use all our brain. you know, not always all at the same time, but we do use all of our brain.
Not running at 100% CPU.
We are running at, like, you know, the speed of our brain, depending on like glial cells and stuff, can be different. And some people think faster in certain areas than other people. Mm-hmm. But we would short circuit if we were using all of it. Like, we need to, our restraint in certain areas firing at certain times is what makes our brain efficient. We don't want all the areas firing at the same time. That would be really bad for our brain. So
bad news.
Yeah. So it's not good. So, you know, I think it's very interesting.
Add it to the list with Flight of the Navigator. It's been like 17 months.
I still haven't seen it. I still haven't seen it. I'm such a bad person.
That's all right. I'll let Steve give him an update. Okay, we'll get in one more question. This is a really interesting question from Dustin. As a strength coach or a coach, what are some of the red flags we should be looking for when with some of our general population clients? And when we see some of these red flags, how would you recommend approaching the client on the subject of seeking help, especially when we as coaches have recognized that we are out of our scope of practice?
Yeah, wow. That's like a really important question, because, you know, you might be the first line of someone that notices that things aren't going well. Mm. So I'll give you some of them, and by far it's not going to be all of them, because there's just so many. The main thing that I look at is a huge difference in behavior, like large scopes of behavior that are different. Unfortunately, sometimes that even means for the better. So anyone that is doing something to excess, you can take anything, even good things, too far. So there's even a type of anorexia that's like an exercise anorexia. And so large changes in body weight faster than what would be healthy for someone, and that it is continuing. Right away, if they're highly defensive to wanting to keep an activity. I think that anything that you wanting to do an activity because you like it is good. But my first red flag for anything is when someone says, I have to do this. I hear that for anything, my red flag goes off, because that's the sign of an addiction.
Mm.
Or it could be the sign of a fear, a phobia, or something that's leaning more towards OCD. So wanting to do something, fine. Enjoying doing something, fine. But even when I say it to myself, oh, I have to do that, I always go, do I have to? And I'm like, no. Okay, cool. But it's something that I always look towards. And if someone's like, no, I have to do 60 repetitions of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a thought. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, do you have to? Could you do 55 instead? Oh, yeah, I could.
So how do you distinguish between people who are like, oh, I have to go see the new Avengers movie versus like, you know, I have to go see the new Avengers movie. I can't do anything. You know, like,
for
you know
me,
what I mean?
It's the look in the eyes. And I, you know, I don't know if that's
is it
trainable.
Like, you know it when you see it? Is it like one of those things?
It's kind of like a strong intensity when you know it. And I will actually ask. I'll be like, do you have to go or do you want to go?
Okay.
You know, and so I'm very, very straight about that. I think that we need to be, you know, straight about when you think that someone is, you know, undercutting in their diet and you think that they're, you know, it's at a dangerous level and you're worried for them. Or you see someone and they're, you know, missing a few sessions at the gym. And then when you see them, they're very disheveled and they look like they might be going through a depression and they're not there. And so I think that we need to ask people, are you okay? Are you doing okay? Should I be worried about you? You know, is there something happening in your life? Anyone that's noticing any like highly anxious or nervous behaviors. Also people that might be zoned out during sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever, like, I think one of the best techniques that one of the therapists that taught me said is if it is significant to you, if you go, like what happened there? There's a reason. We naturally read people's body language, and we are we're creatures of pattern.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to go outside of our regular zones. And because we're creatures of habit, any changes in habit is because of a reason. Strong changes in habit are probably from a big reason. They could be good, but it could be bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're noticing something and you are worried, I think that it is to your benefit to just ask. And if you notice that they say, yeah, you know what, I've, and often people will feel, unfortunately still, and not as much as it used to be, but they might feel if they're, say if they're anorexia or they're binging or they're going through depression or they're going through like a breakdown, they might feel, unfortunately, that feeling of shame or not wanting to share because they want to impress their trainer or they want to impress their friend. But if you talk to them and you're really just like really non-judgmental about it and just say like, I just care and I want to know, they may not tell you that time, but they may tell you the time after because, you know, it's not a great, you know, experience to be in a downward spiral of whatever sort that might be. And it's nice to be able to reach out to someone that's safe and supportive and can help them. But then you go to, well, what happens when they tell you? I haven't been eating. I've been training too many hours. I haven't been sleeping. You know, my wife left me. You know, I just lost my job. Is that, if it's outside of your scope, you know, just you're not there as a therapist, and you can't be. You can be there as a supportive friend. But if you think it's outside of your scope and it's something that's exceptionally dangerous, like someone that's anorexic or depressed or they're having a breakdown, it's a great idea to refer to say, maybe you want to go see someone. And they might not want to. That's fine. And some people go, like, deal with it in vast different ways. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even for areas that are outside of my specialty, I will say, I think that you should go see someone for this specifically because, you know, I want them to get the best treatment possible to be able to deal with it. So even I'll say, you know, maybe you should, you know, if you might want to talk to someone about that or read a book. Or deal with training, or sometimes people deal with it through art. But I think that the first thing is opening up an open line of communication of, I'm worried because of this, you know, and it might not be anything, and that's fine. Please, you know, don't be offended that I've asked you this, but I care about you.
Sorry, I muted myself because my neighbor decided to turn on his motorcycle, go for a ride. And it's, I don't know if you can generally hear the traffic through my microphone because I live on a, not a highway, but kind of a heavy traffic street. And I just wasted a bunch of time explaining that. So, yeah, I mean, this is, that is like a, probably, that's probably like the biggest question that, you know, we could ask you as, you know, fitness professionals and stuff, because I think the only time I really had to deal with it was when I was working in, when I was still in college, like you had, we had the, I guess part of our, I don't know if it was just part of our like curriculum, but we would have like, we would train people for free. Like if someone, like a student was on campus, they could get a personal trainer. It would be one of us that are still in school. And
that's great.
It's great. But then you also, you see a lot because kids get really stressed out with homework and drinking a lot and partying and, I mean, a thing that I know a lot of other people in this field, and it's kind of like you, like people really, it's a huge responsibility because people really trust you as a trainer or a coach because they're literally basically like saying like, here's my health, go take care of it. And, like they will open up a lot about stuff and you just got to make sure that you're listening for, like Georgia was saying, those, like listen for those like warning signs and don't just brush them off, especially if they're brought up more than once.
Right.
That's usually a thing that we should be worried about. But damn, see, I wasted all this time talking to you about crazy stuff. And so we're out of time again and we still have questions, but maybe we'll wait a couple weeks. I feel so bad because now I'm like, I'm hitting you up for this. And I'm like, yeah, maybe we should do like Back in My Plane a couple weeks and talk about Super Metroid.
That's also very cool. It's a great game.
It's a great game that people have been asking me for years to do on the show. It's just, you just got to wait for the right time, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be the right time to play through it again. So before we do wrap it up, first off, like the number one way, I mean, everyone's on Twitter. You're at Georgia_Dow and you're of course at imore.com.
Yeah.
You have Isometric, a fantastic video game podcast. And it's just like, if you're, I would almost say like, if you're not even like, if you're kind of like into games or even if you're older and your kids play games and you want to know what you're playing, you should like listen to it and then you'll like be wicked cool. You know, when you're like talking about new Xenoblade or talking about Persona or something like that.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I'm playing through Persona 4 Golden right now. It's only been taking me like 3 years and I'm 30 hours in, so it's a long game.
It's a long game. I haven't started it yet. I don't have the time. I'd be like playing like 1 hour at a time.
Might as well wait till you retire.
Right, exactly.
Hopefully your Vita still works. You have Isometric, iMore.com. Vector, I've heard, is going to be back soon.
Yes, it should be back soon. And we just did a review now on Avengers.
How was it? Brief review.
I liked Avengers. I liked it. I did not love Avengers. Oh. And I loved the first Avengers. So Age of Ultron was good, not great. And I have a whole bunch of like really, for me, strong reasons of why I felt that way.
So you can check it out. Is it at Review Podcast on Twitter?
I think so. Yes.
I'll link to it in the show notes.
I think it's actually
a Review Cast. Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, Renee just posted about that. So, when the link is up, I will post it in the show notes. And this is going to be coming out for the public in a week anyway, so that stuff will be up. Also, what else are you up to? Are you got any speaking engagements coming up? I know you're always all over the place. Anything else that people can watch out for?
Release notes in October in Indiana, and that's a convention.
Indiana.
And
it should be. Is that a direct flight?
I don't know.
Oh no.
I'm not sure. So I'll be doing that. That will be the next speaking engagement.
Got to go to Pawnee if you're gonna go to Indiana.
Oh yeah.
You know, Parks and Recreation. Oh, come on.
I don't watch Parks and Recreation.
Have you given it a shot? Because
I haven't tried it at all.
The first season is rough. After that, they hit their stride. And you got Rob Lowe in it in the later seasons. And Rob Lowe, also if you check out Rob Lowe's book, his autobiography, super fascinating. And I'm not even like a Rob Lowe fan.
Because I'm not much of a Rob Lowe fan. Like, I feel nothing about him really either way.
He's just had like an interesting, like, I've never seen any of his stuff when he did was a kid, like The Outsiders. I never saw that. And,
St. Elmo's Fire.
I haven't seen that. He grew up like Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen and Martin Sheen.
That is cool.
Martin Sheen's a badass. Like, oh my God, West Wing all day.
Amazing. I love the West Wing.
Oh God, let's just start a West Wing podcast. So,
that's a great show. It's still very current too.
We got to go. I got to watch wrestling and you got stuff to do. You have a family, you know, I just have John Cena and, Roman Reigns to go see, but anything else, because I know you got to go.
I think that's about it.
Okay. Well, and also, now a lot on the Twit Network, whether it be on Mac Break Weekly, or this
week. I don't know, but a lot on the Twit Network. I've been really
like
lucky that I got
weeks,
to do,
right?
I did Mac Break Weekly, which was like awesome. I was so excited. then I got to do Tech News, today.
Oh, that's right.
Which was sick. She's amazing. Megan Marone is like so cool. And then I got to do Twit. But like it was just like a lucky string. I don't know if they'll ever invite me back.
No, I think
I did it once.
It's Georgia. People like talking to you. You have that trait and you probably have the perfect profession, you know, for your personality. So it's working out well. Keep an eye. I mean, those are good shows. Either way, you can always get your tech news and your Mac news, and usually Mac Break Weekly makes me want to spend money. So that's a good thing.
For Apple.
I know it's super. I bought another laptop. I have two laptops.
Did you buy the MacBook?
I've got 13-inch MacBook Pro with Force Click.
Wow.
Just for travel and for when I go into work.
Huh. So when they get it in gold and
oh no, I mean I mean MacBook Pro, sorry.
No, I know, but then they're going to be getting eventually, you know, the MacBook Pro is going to be coming in different colors. You're going to be like, I'm
Space Gray's
that
dope
too. It looks really cool. Space Gray looks really sick.
Did you get the new MacBook?
I didn't because I had just bought a MacBook Air the year before.
Those are still pretty great.
And it's beautiful. Yeah. It's my I have an 11 inch. It's my laptop for everything.
I know, right?
And I love it, but, you know, it's just so pretty. It's so nice. I was like,
You can hear more non-fitness stuff if you're a Patreon supporter. after the show. It's going to be running after the credit.
Oh, yeah, you have to be a Patreon supporter and get it, because we are going to tell you something that will change your life. It's true.
Like, no joke.
It's not even a joke.
Literally, it especially for people in cold climates, it will be a life changer.
It's a game changer. It's a game changer. One of my favorite things we talk about.
Yeah. So you can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/theficast. It's just $1 per episode. You get all those extra agenda-free segments that go and talk about fitness, nutrition, life, mental health, movies, games, music, and, you know, home appliances. So
you
can really get everything. And really, it's just an extra way of saying, me saying, hey, thank you. Here's some extra fun stuff, because you think that the FitCast is worth $1 per episode, $4 per month. That's it.
Nothing.
I mean, you just got an hour.
It's less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
It's way less, and it's
so much better for you.
So much, it lasts way longer. The caffeine high is not 4 hours long. It is maybe an hour and a half, depending on if you get the espresso shot, the black eye, or whatever it was that I got that gave me too much caffeine when I was in New York. But see, that I'm rambling. I'm getting mentally tired. Raw is war. Monday Night Raw is on. And again, thank you so much, Georgia, for taking the time to come on and talk about so many things. And then maybe next time we'll get to some more of the listener questions. So I apologize to everyone.
Right. We'll do another two.
Perfect. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Submit a review on there if you enjoy it. That really helps us, you know, in terms of supporting the show. It bumps us up in the rankings. And of course, don't forget to check out all 37 of Georgia's podcasts that she's on. You could probably literally listen to her about like 10 hours a week if you really wanted to, and just hit on all different subjects. So get more Georgia Dow at Isometric, Vectors coming back, the Reviews podcast, and iMore.com, the iMore podcast. Just so many things to check out. And again, Georgia, thank you. And thank you, everyone out there, for tuning in and listening to me ramble at the end.
Thanks.